we began this study, and it really focuses on what the writer of Hebrews in chapter 11 and verse 1 gives as a definition of faith, and that there are two primary ingredients of that faith. That it is, he says, being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This surety and this certainty that God has made promises to us, and that faith in those promises is faith that says, yes, God always has and he always will keep his promises. And so therefore, I know beyond a doubt, I am sure and I am certain that those promises will be kept for me. And so we're basing this whole study on that understanding of what faith really is, okay? We've been talking about throughout this why this kind of faith is so vitally important to us, and that is because it motivates us. When we have the kind of faith that faith warriors really have, and that we see in these folks we're studying, then that kind of faith, it moves us to obey what God tells us. Keep in mind that God's promises that he gives to us are based on our obedience to him. Okay? God calls upon us to obey him in our daily lives, and he gives us promises. And the greatest one is the promise of victory that he gives, but those promises are based on our obedience to him. This faith also motivates us and gets us through whatever difficult times that we face. And we all face difficult times in our lives from time to time. There are many people right now who are going through difficult times. See? And this kind of faith, that of a faith warrior, can help to propel us through those difficulties that we face in life. And then it also propels us to victory. Again, the promise, the assurance that God has given to us that if we are faithful to the end, we will reap a harvest. We will receive, as he says, a crown of life. And that is the victory that we look forward to. So this kind of faith that we're focusing on in this study is designed and intended to motivate us to all of these kinds of things. The study has been really foundational and focused from what the writer of Hebrews gives to us in chapter 11, what we refer to as the who's who among the faithful, okay? That we're looking at examples of real people, and that's an important thing to keep in mind, that these aren't just Bible stories that somebody made up to make us feel good and so forth, but these are stories that are real, and they are about real people that lived and existed, and they lived out their faith. As we look at those stories and those people, we see how they submitted themselves to God and his will for their lives. And then also, we see how they allowed God to use them for his purpose. And all of these things should cause us, as we strive to have the same kind of faith, to do the same. Allow God to use us for his purpose as we serve out his will for us in this life. As we're doing this study and looking at all these various people here, I've encouraged you to do two things. Ask two questions. First of all, we're looking at what did they do here? What did these people do that kind of labels them and helps us to see them as faith warriors? And secondly, what can I learn from them to help me to be a faith warrior? Okay? So this morning in our study, we're going to look at Joshua and Caleb, two faith warriors who are not mentioned by name by the writer of Hebrews, but they are alluded to where the writer of Hebrews talks about and says, by faith, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down or fell down after the people marched around the city for 7 days. And of course, that refers to Joshua and Caleb leading the Israelite people when they finally came back to the promised land after the time we're going to be focusing on this morning, and they actually went in and took possession of the land. And so I want to focus on these two faith warriors this morning. We begin by looking at this particular concept, which is very, very popular today and has been growing in popularity for quite some time especially here in America. Going along to get along. Okay? Sam Rayburn, who is was a politician, he actually was the Speaker of the House, the United States House of Representatives. He's one who is credited as this particular quote: "If you want to get along, then go along." And that is a very popular concept and idea, and it's becoming more and more popular again today, not only in politics but across the board in our culture and society. It's the idea of going along with the crowd. We talk about it oftentimes in terms of peer pressure or conformity and the need to conform and the need to get along with people and not stir things up, you see? And so peer pressure is a very, very real thing, isn't it? And we talk about young people facing peer pressure, but I want to suggest to you this morning that it's not just young people who face it. Adults are facing it, and unfortunately today more and more adults are giving into it. Corporations are giving into it, and that's why what we see happening across America today, where corporations are being bullied into supporting the agenda of people whose agenda is just plain sinful, to put it no other way, and corporations are being bullied into supporting those things, say, because of the peer pressure. And I think that one of the main reasons that we give into that is because we don't want to be like the yellow crayon in the box, the only one that stands out amongst all the rest. We don't want to stand out. We don't want people to notice us, you see, and to call us rebels or whatever the case may be. We just kind of want to blend in. And so oftentimes what we do is we go along to get along. Okay? And so we see this happening more and more today. People being silenced because of their views and their ideas that don't match the popular views. And so the idea is just keep quiet, don't say anything, and there is a lot of censorship that is going on right now in our society that goes with this very same thing. Go along to get along. If you don't agree with the established views, then you need to be quiet and just go along to get along. Okay? Social justice warriors today are using this mantra to force compliance with their agenda. That's happening. It's happening more and more, and it's getting stronger and stronger, and much of that mantra is opposed to Christianity, and we need to be aware of that. Okay? Anyone who doesn't conform faces some kind of punishment. People are losing their jobs, they're losing their businesses, they're losing their homes, and so forth, because they're not wanting to conform to what the social justices demand that we conform to. That's happening. It's happening every day in America, and it's getting worse, my brothers and sisters. You need to be aware of that. Okay? Dr. Ben Carson, who is the Secretary of Health and Human Services, he's the Secretary of Housing and Development, okay, says there are a group of people who would like to silence everybody and to have everybody go along to get along, but that's not going to be very helpful for us in the long run in terms of solving our problems. And somebody has to be courageous enough to actually stand up to, you know, the bullies. And that's really what it's about. Okay? Gandhi says, people without conviction do not take a stand. They go along to get along because they lack confidence and courage. And that is very true. See? When we lack confidence and we lack courage, then we go along with the crowd. See? And what needs to happen is that those who are on the side of right, those who are on the side of Christ, need to stand up and say, no, I am not following the crowd, and stand up to whatever bullying. And believe me, the bullying is going to get worse. We need to understand that as followers of Christ today. Okay? many times did you ever say this to your parents when you were a kid? Or maybe have your kids say that to you. But everyone else is doing it. Now, I don't know about your parents, but my parents used to say back in response to that, if everyone else jumped off a bridge, would you go and do it too? Right? Because that seems to be the excuse all the time. Well, everybody else is doing it, so why can't I or why shouldn't I do it? Well, here's two important words we need to understand the difference between. Conformity is doing what everybody else is doing regardless of what is right. And that's what's happening with the majority of folks today. They're conforming. Morality, on the other hand, is doing what is right regardless of what everybody else is doing. And that's what those who are followers of Christ need to be doing. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. We need to be doing what is right, standing for what is right. See? Wrong is wrong, period. Even if everybody else is doing what's wrong, it's still wrong. And just because it becomes the popular thing does not somehow make wrong right. Okay? And right is right even if nobody else is doing it. Just because the majority of people say, no, that's wrong, you can't have that attitude or you can't do that or believe that, that does not keep it from being right. Okay? We need to decide, are we going to conform and go along to get along, or are we going to be like Joshua and Caleb, who's a real example of folks who didn't go along to get along. Okay? Joshua and Caleb and the part of their lives that we're going to look at this morning have to do with, and you know, we used to sing the song in the VBS all the time. Y'all help me out here. 12 men went to Canaan, 10 were bad, and 2 were good, right? And that's really the basis of this part of the story, is that the Israelites had come out of bondage in Egypt, had crossed the desert, and now had come to the border, to the river, to cross over into the promised land that God had promised even way back to Abraham that they would receive as an inheritance. But before they crossed over, Moses chose 12 men, one from each tribe of the Israelites, to go out into the land and to spy out the land, to check it out, and to come back and bring a report back. So that was their job, and they went out for 40 days. They were out scanning and crossing the promised land and checking everything out. They came back at the end of the 40 days, and they even brought some of the fruit of the land back to show how good it really was. But in giving their report, there were some of them who said, hey, this is a good land, but there are giants in this land. There are people there who are stronger than we are, they said. And then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Okay? But they responded by saying, we can't attack those people. And I want you to notice this part of the statement. They are stronger than we are. That statement really tells it all, doesn't it? Because what it says is they have more faith in themselves than they do in God. And right now, there's not a whole lot of faith there in themselves. They can't do it. These people are stronger than we are. What they've really done is left God out of the equation, haven't they? You see? They are stronger than we are. Let's talk for just a moment about faith under pressure, because that's really what this is. Joshua and Caleb found themselves in a situation where their faith was tremendously being tested. Okay? Here's what happens next. All of the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, and look at this, if only we had died in Egypt or in this desert. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt. Now think about that statement for just a moment. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt where we were in bondage? Okay? And we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. That's what they wanted to do. Here they were on the border of the land that God had promised on oath to give to them. All they had to do was have enough faith to cross over. And instead, they were wanting to go back where they came from. And isn't that so much like people today, oftentimes? People that we give our life to Christ and he brings us literally out of slavery to sin and into salvation. And we face some of those difficult times in our lives, and what we do is we want to go back. Go back to the bondage of sin. And that's what they were doing. They had that little faith in God. But Joshua and Caleb, they get up and they speak to the whole assembly, tells us here. The land we pass through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord. And do not be afraid of the people of the land. I like this part, because we will devour them.
Yeah.
Their protection is gone. But the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. And folks, we need to pay attention to these statements by Joshua and Caleb and apply them to ourselves today. Because we are being faced more and more with a time where we've got a land, a promise, but we got folks that are in opposition to us. And we've got to decide, are we going to be afraid and give in and want to go back to where we come from? Or are we going to realize that the Lord is with us? Do we realize that their protection is gone, okay? But we have the Lord on our side. Now, do with us what you will in this life, but what we have is something far better. You see, we get to cross over the Jordan into eternal life. We cannot allow what goes on in this world and what the people of this world are saying and doing to have us turn back and to give up on God. Because then, like the Israelites, and we'll see here in just a moment, we end up losing everything. We need to have the faith of Joshua and Caleb, who are even able to stand up before everybody else, all the people, and to say, no, we can do this because we have God on our side. Amen. And we need to do the same thing. Here's what they faced. The whole assembly talked about stoning them. Okay? Then the Lord said to Moses, this is an interesting passage, by the way, okay? Look at what he says. How long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me in spite of all the signs I have performed among them? And look at this next statement. I will strike them down with a plague and destroy them, but I will make you into a nation greater and stronger than they. Do you understand what that statement really is all about? You see, God had raised up Abraham for this purpose, didn't he? And he gave the promise to Abraham that his descendants would cross over into this land and they would take possession of it. And now these very people are rejecting God. And God is at the point where he's so fed up with them that he's saying, I'm just going to destroy them all and I'm going to start over again with you, Moses.
But Moses, being the man of faith that he was, he said to God, and I don't have this part on here, but go in, and I encourage you to go and read this whole story here. He said to God, basically, Lord, if you destroy them after you brought them out of the land of Egypt, then the Egyptians and everybody else is going to say that you brought them out here and you failed to do what you said you could do. And so God decided not to destroy them, but instead to punish them. And here's what we need to understand, because it really was a test of faith for Joshua and Caleb to stand up against all of those people and to stand up for the Lord. When faith is tested, we need to understand this, that faith that is not tested is no faith at all. Now just think about that for a moment and let it sink in. Faith that is not ever tested is not really much faith. We need to allow for our faith to be tested and challenged, because that's what helps our faith to grow stronger and stronger. See? So we need to look forward to the testing of our faith, knowing and realizing that God will always take care of us when we rely on Him through faith. The Apostle Paul gives us an example of that kind of testing of our faith and what it really does, and especially what it teaches us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul speaks of his thorn in the flesh that he has. Look at what he says. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest in me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in the weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And that's a lesson that the Israelites needed to learn, but they failed to. You see, remember what they said. These people are too strong for us. We can't do this. They recognized their weaknesses, but they failed to recognize God's strength. And what God says to us through Paul here is, we have got to acknowledge how weak we are without God and learn to rely on His power in our lives. Because it is only when we recognize and acknowledge that we need Him that He can really work His strength and His power in our lives. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus says to the disciples, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life. If we will hold true to our faith in God and do what He tells us to do and accept the challenges to cross the Jordan River, okay, if you will, where we're willing to give up everything to follow Him, His promise is that we will be blessed in eternal life. Okay? But we've got to be willing to let go of all the things of the world that would hold us back. And that's, again, part of the problem that the Israelites had. They weren't willing to let go. See? And finally, Jesus says in John chapter 15 and verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And look at this last part of the statement. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Again, a message that the Israelites needed to have. You see, they were relying on themselves, on their own strength, their own ability.
and didn't realize that apart from God, they were nothing. They could do nothing, but with God, if they remained in Him, there was nothing they couldn't do. Why? Because God had already promised to give them that land. So we have got to remain faithful and remain attached to the vine, if you will. That is, to Jesus Christ. And realize that without Him, we can't do anything. But with Him, there is nothing we can't accomplish. Amen?
Amen.
Finally, let's talk about 45 years later. Okay? 45 years later. Here's what happens, okay? When the Israelites rebelled against God and against Moses there, remember what they were saying was, it would have been better for us if we had died in the wilderness, right? And so the Lord says to them, as truly as I live, said the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so I will do to you. Okay? In other words, it's kind of one of those situations of, be careful what you ask for, because you just might get it. Okay? And so 40 days becomes 40 years. Because of their disobedience and their refusal to go into the land, God told them that according to the number of days that they had spied out the land, 40 days, 1 year for each day, they would wander in the wilderness until everyone of that generation had died. Not one of them, 20 years old or older, would be allowed to enter the promised land, except Joshua and Caleb, the two who stood up against all of the rest of the people and said, yes, we can. Only those two of that whole generation would be allowed to enter the promised land. In verses 36 and 38, it says, So the men Moses had sent to explore the land, who returned and made the whole community grumble against him by spreading a bad report about it. These men responsible for spreading the bad report about the land were struck down and died of a plague before the Lord. Okay? 10 men who went to spy out Canaan, the bad ones, were struck down and died of a plague. Of the men who went to explore the land, 12 men who went to Canaan, 10 were bad and died of a plague. 2 were good. Only Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, survived. Okay. Why? Because they were faithful warriors. And they stood up for God. Now, what happens? You go over to the book of Joshua, chapter 14, 10 through 12. And this is after the land had been conquered. This is after the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And that whole generation had died off. And then they come back to the land, to the promised land, and they actually cross over under the leadership of Joshua. And they take the land. Okay? And here's what it says, okay? And now, this is Caleb speaking to Joshua. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me and shall be able to drive them out, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Here's a man who now, after 45 years, Okay? They wandered for 40 years in the wilderness while that whole generation died off. And they come into the land and they conquer the land. He's 85 years old and he still has a faith of a warrior that says, I can still fight. I can still take this land. Because the Lord is with me. A true faith warrior. You see, being a faith warrior requires us to sometimes stand out against the crowd. To be the only yellow crayon in the box of red ones. To be the only one that is standing up and saying, this is wrong and I'm not going to do it. Or this is right and this is what I'm going to do. To be the one who relies on God's strength and His power, recognizing how weak I really am. To be able to accomplish what God has given me to do. Faith warriors like Joshua and Caleb. Tom has a song that he has chosen for us to use as an invitation song. And my encouragement to you is while we're singing this song is to be thinking about you and maybe put yourself in this story of Joshua and Caleb and the Israelites. And ask yourself a couple of questions. One is, am I a true faith warrior like Joshua and Caleb? Or maybe am I got the faith that's just allowing me to go along to get along, no matter what is right or wrong? If you're a go along to get along person right now, I encourage you to repent of that. Because some of the things that you are going along with likely are sinful and wrong. If you're going along with the world and with society, I encourage you further to ask God for His strength in your weakness so that you can stand for Him and be a faith warrior the way He wants you to. Then and only then can He use you to fulfill His purpose for you in this life. Tom is going to lead us in this song, and while we're singing this song, if there's anyone here present with us that would like have prayer requests or anything that we can do to serve you, then all you have to do is come up and let me know, or Dale will be in the back there to receive anyone that would like to have a private prayer or conversation with him. You can also, those of you who are worshiping with us online, if you have a prayer request that you would like for us to address, you can text either Dale or Wes, and their phone numbers will be on the screen under the songs. You can text either one of them while we're doing the song, and we will address your prayer request when the song is finished. And if there's anyone there who is not yet a Christian, if you're worshiping with us online and you desire to be a Christian, you're not one yet, I want you to know that you can become a Christian as soon as possible. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that's separating you from God. And you need to be baptized in water for the remission of those sins. And you can do that as soon as possible is with you. All you've got to do is text us or call us and let us know that's your desire, and we will make it happen as soon as possible. That's the invitation for you. That's what you need to do. And we are here because we want to serve you. If we can serve anyone in any way, please come and let us know while we're singing this song.